Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice that takes away sin forever. Because of this, we can stand before a holy God without fear. And even now, he stands before God as our mediator. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7 to learn how Jesus, as a priest before God, did more than offer sacrifices. He himself was the sacrifice.
But if somebody says to you, well, you know, this idea of demanding a sacrifice, other gods demanded that too. You can go on the internet and you can see it. The answer that you need to give to people is simply this, that there is no other religion in which God becomes the sacrifice. This is so critical that Jesus not only was the priest, priests offered sacrifices. Jesus, the text tells us here at the end of verse 27, once for all offered himself. He becomes the sacrifice. You know, sheep often lay down their lives for the shepherd. This is the one instance in which the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the sacrifice. And that sacrifice is the blood of Christ, which takes away the sin of the world. So we have Jesus sinless. We have him sympathetic. We have him sacrificial. And now it's very critical he is seated at the right hand of God. Why is that important? Listen, if you had a dispute with the President of the United States, you could say, well, Mr. President, we have this dispute. I am bringing my own mediator to help us negotiate this. I think the president would say, no, that's not acceptable. If we're going to have a mediator, and sometimes it's good, I'm going to supply the mediator. So not any old mediator is going to do. It is God who is going to supply that mediator, and that mediator has a right to be the mediator because after his work was done, he was taken to heaven and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, it's very interesting that in the Old Testament, when a priest was going to offer the final sacrifice, or when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, as he did on one day a year, he had to basically go through three entrances. The first entrance got him into the court of the people, the general court, and then there was an entrance into what we call the holy place. And then there was the curtain, and he had to go behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was. And what the Bible says is that this Ark of the Covenant and this whole tabernacle is actually a copy of the tabernacle in heaven. That's what it says in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. So you see, what Jesus did is when he ascended on high, he went through, first of all, the atmospheric heavens, the birds of the heaven, and then he went through the stellar heavens, where all the stars are, and then he went into the third heaven, which is really the essence of where God dwells. Now, God is everywhere, but there's a sense in which God is localized to one place, and it's that upper heaven that Jesus went to. But furthermore, the scripture says in the 9th chapter of Hebrews that he passed through the heavens. Well, I'm reading it here. For Christ has entered not to the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things that are in heaven, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. You see, Jesus went there to appear before God. Some people actually believe that he took his own physical blood to heaven, because it goes on in context talking about how things have to be purified by blood. I don't believe that Jesus took physical blood into heaven. When it says that he ascended into heaven not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, I think it means on the basis of his own blood. But he goes there and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, it's very interesting that about 10 times in the New Testament, Jesus is spoken of as seated at the right hand of God, where God dwells in the third heaven. And there's only once, however, where it says that he was standing, and all of you know exactly where it is. It's in the book of Acts, where Stephen is being stoned, and the Bible says that the heavens opened, and Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It was as if Jesus was saying, Stephen, those rocks really hurt. I know that you're going to be in pain. Dying is no fun. You're going to have a very rough ride, but you're going to have a very safe landing, because when you get here, I'm waiting for you, God was saying to Stephen. And while we're talking about Jesus entering into the holy place, and into heaven itself, in the very Holy of Holies, which exists in heaven, let me remind you that it's a beautiful, beautiful metaphor. You know, I'm drawing this now from the last part of the sixth chapter of Hebrews. You can read it on your own, but don't turn to it now. I'm going to tell you what it says. It says that Jesus has entered into heaven. He passed through the heavens as our forerunner, having entered into heaven for us. You know what the imagery is. In olden times, when a boat was coming into shore and there were so many rocks that were along the shoreline, a forerunner would hop in the water, swim to shore, and then by means of a rope and a very ancient winch would draw that boat into the harbor. He was the forerunner. I'm ahead of you, and I'm making sure that you get where I have gone. Jesus never expects us to go to a place where he hasn't gone. He died, and he says, I'm the forerunner, and I'm preparing a place for you, and so forth, because he's the one, you see. And meanwhile, our boats creak, the wind blows. We think to ourselves, we can't endure this. But the forerunner runs ahead of us and says, I know you can make it because I made it, and I'm here for you as your forerunner. Jesus, having accomplished it all in heaven, sits down. My work is done. It's all finished. I still have a responsibility. I still intercede for you, but the work is done. Now, do you remember the four characteristics here of the intercessor? Do you remember them? I do, I think. Let's review them. First of all, he is sinless. Secondly, he is sympathetic. Third, he is a sacrifice. And fourth, he is seated. Now, what difference should that make to us? And why is it that God intends that we leave this place differently than we came? That's the issue before us. Just two very quick applications that I want to make. The first is simply this, that Jesus Christ, we have access. Now, once again, we're in chapter 4. Sorry that I'm making you go back and forth, but that's the way it is. You'll notice it says in verse 15 and following, chapter 4, we have this high priest who is able to sympathize in our weakness. Verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We come with confidence to the throne, not of a God who revels in naked power, though he has power, not to a God who is indifferent, but we come to one who, if we could visualize the throne, we'd have to see a flag flying that says mercy and grace. Why mercy? That's where the mercy seat is, where Jesus has entered into that mercy seat. You say, well, you know, if Jesus is this great high priest, if he intercedes for us and picks up our cause, why doesn't he deliver us from all of our trials? Why doesn't he heal everybody? Why doesn't he do all this? It's been my experience that almost never, though sometimes, but almost never does God deliver us from trials. The mercy and the grace is to get us through those trials, continuing to trust God, just like we sang, through it all, and God is there for us, not by delivering us from our many trials, but saying, you can be faithful in the midst of those trials, because I will grant you grace, and when you sin, you have mercy, because we come now to the mercy seat. This isn't just an experience of some high priest in the Old Testament who went in one day a year. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was, of course, rent from top to bottom, proving that God did it. And he now says, come, come to the Holy of Holies. And you come and you'll receive mercy and you'll receive grace to help in time of need. Have you come recently? Or you just kind of throw up the prayers to God, not knowing whether or not he's going to hear them. The text says we come with confidence. And we have this confidence because we are sure that we are heard because of our intercessor. And we're coming in his name and for the glory of God. Your cry to God is heard. We come with confidence because of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. If you ask me the question, how is it that Jesus can process so many different prayers based on so many different concerns of his people on earth? I cannot answer. But we do have to remember that Jesus Christ is God, and he stands there and he represents us before the Father, or more accurately, the Bible says that he is seated there. You know, only once Jesus is spoken of as standing at the right hand of the throne of God, and that's when Stephen was being stoned. It's as if Jesus was saying, Stephen, I know that it hurts, I know that you're going through a huge trial, but I'm here for you. As soon as you die, you'll be in my presence. But elsewhere, the Bible always talks about Jesus Christ being seated, so I want you to visualize him today at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you, remembering you before the Father. And even as you and I struggle with sin, Jesus, in effect, reminds the Father, though of course he needs not be reminded, but we're talking in human terms. Jesus is reminding the Father that indeed all sin has been paid for among those who trust Christ as Savior. So this doctrine of the intercessory work of Jesus Christ, which I continue next time, is a great blessing to us. It's a great blessing for you to think about.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. A holy God once spoke from a mountain in Sinai, saying, "Stay away." Next time on Running to Win, why we can now come with confidence before the throne of grace to receive his mercy. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.